It is time for a special early edition of History Matters, taking a look back at this week in history with the one and only Scott Washington, historian extraordinaire. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Aaron, you know, I hear that music and I just feel like I have to rise to the occasion. It feels like there is something at stake here.
Yes.
And we have to do the important things of celebrating history as much as we are witnessing it every day. In our lives.
This is another one of those historic weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, in so many ways. But I do want to mention something that came, of course, now on Monday, which was Veterans Day, there is a connection, though, a North Carolina connection that's really interesting that not a lot of people know about, but hopefully more people will after this program, but but it's also, we know that as Veterans Day, but of course in 1918, the 11th hour, 11th month, 11th day,
right.
That's when the armistice goes into effect.
Mm-hmm.
It's a year later when Woodrow Wilson establishes Armistice Day,
right.
But it's not until 1938 that an act of Congress takes place that declares November 11th as Armistice Day. And that holds true until 1954 when it's amended to become Veterans Day.
Interesting.
Now,
so until 38, was it just kind of an informal?
It was kind of ad hoc.
Okay.
And some people did, and some people, but North Carolina has the distinction of one town, Warsaw, North Carolina. There was a young man who died, who's a resident of Duplin County, who died just hours before the armistice went into effect. So the first VFW post, Veterans of Foreign War post, is established, and they name it after him. And so in 1921, they begin to celebrate Veterans Day with a parade. And this is the oldest continuous, and this is in Warsaw, North Carolina. And if you're going down to the coast on I-40, it's about halfway down, and you'll see a sign. If you go into the rest area, you're going to see a World War II artillery cannon there with a marker. And this is the oldest continuous celebration of Veterans Day in the United States, happens in North Carolina.
Oh, that's awesome.
And in 2016, actually, the General Assembly recognized it as the as this is the parade to mark Veterans Day. And they don't always do it on November 11th. Oftentimes it's on the first Saturday, like it was this year.
Right,
but it's one of those kind of really interesting kind of
facts. That's really cool.
It is
Warsaw,
really cool.
North Carolina.
Warsaw, North Carolina.
All
that's right.
Right.
Not near Poland or anywhere else. It's right here in North Carolina. But
so this is your opportunity to mention that Hillsboro is one of the few towns that celebrates Bill of Rights Day.
Well, that
with
is coming
an event
up.
That is gradually
growing.
Growing.
Oh,
yes.
Well, you just had to admit, it's like, you know, putting meat out there for dogs. Yes. Bill of Rights Day on December 15th is when we will be ringing bells all over Hillsboro, whether it's individual bells, car keys, you name it. That's the date in 1791 when, after Virginia ratifies the amendments go into effect, or at least that's what it's understood. It will take until the 19th century before finally they settle on when do amendments go into effect, and finally had to be the Secretary of State that actually declares that. That becomes a law. But that's the date, and there's a lot more history, and as we get closer to this date,
we'll hear more about it.
Well, there's another couple of interesting things that happen. And on November 11th, 1921 is when the unknown soldier is buried at Arlington National Cemetery.
Now, is that in honor of the fact that it was the three-year anniversary of the end of the war?
I don't know that it was. No one was thinking in those terms. They just thought that was the war to end all wars. And by this time, it takes, you know, it wasn't an established holiday. It doesn't happen until 1938.
Right.
So this is just one of those times that it seems appropriate to mark someone that at that point, without DNA testing, we're going to honor that unknown serviceman.
Right.
But there's also another fascinating thing. On November 11th, 1865, is when Mary Edwards Walker is awarded the U.S. Medal of Honor. Now, she's the first woman surgeon, and she had trained, born in 1832, dies in 1919. She had trained and had become a surgeon as of 1855. The war comes along, Civil War, and she volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a shortage, so they say, sure, at first she's kind of employed as a nurse, but then she rises very quickly because she has deep medical knowledge, becomes a doctor and surgeon. through the war. And what's really interesting is not only is she a surgeon, but she's a real feminist. She believes in suffragette, the right of women to vote.
Right.
She's an abolitionist, and she dresses unconventionally. She just thought, you know, these dresses, no, that did not help. And so she would wear trousers and got so much flack mm-hmm. for her choices, but really was a pioneer in style all throughout her life. And so she's awarded this medal because after the war, in fact, she's crosses over lines to treat people who are wounded. Mm-hmm. In fact, she asked, can I be a spy? And they said, no, they aren't going to do that. But she is captured at one point by the Confederacy, and she is imprisoned in Richmond for about a year, and then in 1864, and then is exchanged in a prisoner exchange. Well, after the war, here she is, and she wants some kind of commendation. She says, you know, some way to mark the service. Mm-hmm. So that's when President Johnson awards her this U.S. Medal of Honor. Well, of course, now, it was pretty loose at that time what the requirements are.
Right.
It takes until after World War I, when they're looking at, well, what is, should we establish this Medal of Honor for? And they say, well, it has to be somebody in combat and actually in armed forces. And well, she doesn't fit. So they
right.
actually eliminate a large number, and she's one of them. But she protests that.
This is right at the end of her life,
yes,
too.
That's
yeah.
right. And it's not until Jimmy Carter's presidency that that gets overturned. Some people think it was actually Jimmy Carter, but it wasn't. It was actually below that status. A board of review said, oh, yeah, she needs to have that reinstated.
Mm-hmm.
So they do, which is just a wonderful story.
Awesome.
Of, you know,
so does
real trailblazer.
Does the rules, does the 1916 rule still exist for awarding future medals of honor, and she just had it reinstated as just kind of like an ad hoc thing, or did they...
I think
loosen
they looked
the
at
rules.
It. Well, I don't know, but well, I do know that there were a couple other surgeons who also
okay.
fit the same, but they were men. So I think they said,
right,
okay,
right.
well, if they were going to make those allowances, then she should have been had that allowance.
You know
well.
Who we can credit for that? It wasn't Jimmy Carter. It wasn't the Board of Review. You know what it was?
What?
MASH. MASH is popular as a TV show in the 1970s,
you know,
and now we start to recognize the importance of Army surgeons, and we start looking
wow.
back at this.
That
I bet
so
if we went
oh
back,
gosh,
we would start to. We might see that.
You know, I always learn so much on this show.
Oh, don't say you learned that. That's just wild speculation.
No,
I would not be surprised
but,
if that had a little bit
but
to do
know,
with it.
But you know, that has to do a lot. What you're suggesting is about how history is done,
mm-hmm.
and part of it is the science, that robust redundancy and checking facts, and being careful about what those facts represent. But then there is a place for, I think, creative conjecture
mm-hmm.
to say, given the circumstances where we don't know all the elements that may have arrived for why something happens, is this a reasonable conjecture to say, at that time, this was occurring in the culture, very popular, very well known. You have Houlihan as one of the characters, the
yes,
woman.
Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense to me. And
I love this segment because I come in and just say something crazy and then you justify it. I like this. All of the segments on my show should be like this. Speaking with Scott Washington, History Matters, we're coming on the end of the hour. We got time for one more. What do we got?
Well, this is the one that I always love to bring up because it just shows that sometimes problems happen and you go, oh my gosh, it's a fellow who was born on November 15th, 1898. He dies in 1984. And he becomes the owner of a series, whole series of grocery stores called the Humpty Dumpty Stores. His name is Sylvan Nathan Goldman. And so he's trying to get more people to shop in his stores. And he's wondering, and he realizes, you know, they're carrying stuff. And he thought, if only they had something easier to carry with.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gets together with a mechanic and they start playing around with stuff and said, hey, look, what about a folding chair with baskets on it? And let's try that. And they kind of work at it and they think, yeah, I think this might work. And of course, that's the origin in 1937 of what we call the shopping cart.
Interesting.
Takes another 3 years. It's 1940. Overshadowed by World War II, or we'd be celebrating it today,
bit.
I'm sure.
I'm sure, yeah.
But he's the guy who comes up with that. Now, there are some other people that come up with some other things. There's a person, Orla Watson, who comes up with a the nestling, the grocery carts, mm-hmm. so they all fold into each other.
Oh, yeah.
Bessie Duchamp comes up with the idea of a seatbelt, and that becomes something that he incorporates. He keeps working on this invention so that you have grocery carts that have little seatbelts. If you ever wonder,
right.
you can say, okay, this even goes back to the turn of the century and this same fellow.
I would say we should have a parade in honor of all of these innovations, but it would be difficult to have a parade in honor of the grocery cart because it would just kind of very slowly veer off to the right without anyone notice
yes,
and then start
exactly.
plowing into traffic.
Well, there was a kind of parade that happened on November 16, 1765. I'll talk fast. Last one. William Houston, who was North Carolina stamp master in 1765, comes into Wilmington. And Wilmington is not terribly happy with this idea of a tax on paper goods. So hundreds of citizens persuade him. It may be a good idea to resign.
He gently does. Persuade.
They put him up on a chair. They have a big parade. And once again, this is the week of parades. It's things to celebrate like that. And Warsaw.
There you go.
Shopping cart.
And that is History Matters for this week. Scott Washington, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you, Eric.